see as we close out John 14 together. And hear the word of the Lord this morning. John chapter 14, starting in verse 16. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, now a Jew, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things he spoke to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and bring to you remembrance all of what I have said to you. Peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you will rejoice, because I am going to my Father. And for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it has taken place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you. For the ruler of this world is coming, and he has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Why? Let us go. Father, your word is astounding to us, especially the words of your wonderful and true Son. We thank you that from it we can learn and we can understand the marvelous workings of the mysterious person of you. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one, eternal. As Pastor Jim spoke this morning, to the children and to us, trying to understand this vast mystery of God. Tuning in the songs that we have sung this morning, praising you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we truly are grateful that all three persons of the Trinity, one God, now and forever, are working to us and through us for the benefit and the glory of your own name. This morning, as we look to God's Word, I want you to notice something here. Jesus says in verse 16, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with Spirit of truth. I want us to stop there for a moment, because this word in the Greek for helper is one that we say in one of our first songs this morning, and that word is paraclete. And some of us will look at this and say, paraclete? What in the world is paraclete? So I wanted to describe that a little bit more this morning. The first thing is, a paraclete is not a paraclete. Paraclete is not a paraclete and not a paraclete. I just want you guys to understand. It is neither of these things. What a prayer and what a paraclete is, we're going to say, right? Otherwise, I'll get confused. What a paraclete is from the word parakletos. In the Greek, meaning one who is an advisor, one who is a counselor, one who is a movie, and this isn't, by the way, go out and see this way about movie. No, I'm not telling you that this morning. I'm giving you an example from this. The movie Gladiator, where the general of the Roman troops out in Gaul are fighting these barbarian hordes that are coming forth in Gaul. This general ends up losing his position, becomes a gladiator and fights for us. That's what we're doing. The best part of the movie, I think, is the very beginning. The very beginning, when the general is riding among his troops in his full regalia, in his full armor, in his full battlement, showing them that he is one of them, and he is ready to charge, and he is able to charge, and he has courage to charge. And he is ready to move forward in combat. And not only that, this general also comes to each soldier, checking their armor, hitting them on the shoulder, whispering to them words of encouragement and strength for the battle that is to come. This is a character. Not a general, per se, but one who comes alongside and lends courage and lends strength. And lets you know you can do this, lets you know that there is power and there is ability and there is more to come, and you will not be alone. That's it. And so when Jesus says, another paraclete is coming for you, I really take it as Jesus is proclaiming this in the upper room. Remember the situation. That's the upper room. Has already broken bread, and Judas has already left to go betray the Lord. And Jesus, taking this time with the 11 left, is sharing the truth of who he is to them, that they might understand, and the depth of a relationship, especially in the Trinity, that they're about to enjoy. Next week, as Pastor Jim preaches to us and shares to us about abiding in the body, he gets to us. But in this moment, he is specifically talking to them in their troubled hearts. Their hearts that are starting to get unsettled by his talk of going away from them. Specifically, his talk of death. That he is going to die, that did not register within the mind of the Jews at that time for who the Messiah would be. And here was the one that they knew was the Messiah. He has to be Messiah. Raised up, all of these things about being gone and returning did not make sense with what they imagined Messiah to come to do to establish a throne forever. What they didn't see was what he was going away to do as well. Establish a throne forever. They didn't understand the payment for sin and all of these things to come. And as we read in this passage, that paraclete that is coming will remind them of all these things and teach them all these things. It is the paraclete that we want to pay attention to this morning. You guys have that? Understand what a paraclete is? Not a paraclete, not a paraclete. A paraclete is one who comes forward and lends promise to us as Jesus is talking. I want you to pay close attention to this in verse 6. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another paraclete. Another paraclete. Most often we pay attention to the fact that Jesus is saying, hey, the Holy Spirit is coming, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be wonderful. I cannot wait for the Holy Spirit to come and be with you. That is exciting. That is something that even Moses was longing for. You say, what? Moses didn't want for that? Yes. Moses even longed for this day. Let me read this to you. This is in Numbers. Numbers chapter 11, mark this down. Numbers chapter 11, verses 26 and following. This is after Sinai, and the law has been given, and they are appointing elders to serve under Moses to the people of Israel. And it says this, now, the Holy Spirit had come down with the written book of Becca. So Moses went and told the people the words of the Lord, and they gathered 70 men of the elders and the people and placed them around the tents, and the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him. And took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied. But they did not continue to do it. See, in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, it was the spirit that would come down and rest upon them for a time, for a purpose, and then the spirit would depart. And that's what happens here. The spirit comes down on the 70 elders, and they prophesy in the Lord's name, and they're speaking forth, and then it departs. And then it departs. Now, two men remained in camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. Remember those two guys, Eldad and Medad. And the spirit rested on them. See, the spirit was remaining on them. And they were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and they prophesied in the camp. They were even part of that original crew. And here they were with this spirit upon them, the spirit of the Lord, and they were prophesying. A young man ran upon Moses. Eldad and Medad were prophesying in the camp, and Joshua, the son of Nun, assisted to Moses from his youth, said, my Lord, Moses, stop them. But Moses said, are you jealous for my sake? Listen to this. Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Moses longed for the day that Jesus, that moment in that night, was proclaiming about to happen. He longed for this day in which the Spirit would rest upon God's people and be there with them forever. And that is what Jesus is speaking for. But he says this important word first. He says, another. So who's the other of the another? How about the very one who's speaking to him at that moment? For 3.5 years, Jesus has been their paraclete of God, encouraging them, telling them the truth, rising up their courage where they were simple fishermen, and now they will be what? Fishers of men. And Jesus is the primary paraclete. He's the first one to come and give them courage. Another paraclete, but this one that is coming is going to be with them for how long? He says in verse 16, forever, implying that he himself is not going to be with them much longer. He's been telling them that, right? No surprise. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. There's another paraclete, and when he comes, and we have to understand this, brothers and sisters, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when this paraclete comes, he comes to us forever. You have the
wish we could get down for the deposit. But how great? We put down a portion, right? I want you guys to grasp this for a second. If the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit Himself, is a deposit to us of what is coming in our inheritance, we should all be blown away by what the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven is going to be. Because right now, we are like water bottles filled with water, thrown into the ocean. That's us in the Holy Spirit. Okay? We're the water bottle. His Spirit is all the water. Okay? He is beyond us. And He is just a fraction of what is to come. Now, Paraclete became with Jesus. He was speaking of the other that would come and be with them forever. And then He brings up this very amazing point. He says this in verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth. You guys know this is what I have before here. Jesus, I had written underneath Him, was true Himself. Let me verify that by some of the scriptures that John says. John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John 1:17 says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 8:45-47 says this, but because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. And John 14:6, Jesus says this. He said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So here is why I say the very first truth is the very first paraclete that comes to His people. That comes to the disciples. That is the very truth is Jesus Christ. Who He is in His person is the Son of God, the Messiah, the one to come and to save them. He is the truth to them. He is the truth to us. But He says this, even the Spirit of truth. So the Spirit that is coming shares a commonality with the truth that's right before them. And that is, the only reality that exists for mankind is Jesus and the salvation that He brings, and also what the Spirit brings. This is the only truth that there is. And this very Spirit that comes to us will reveal to us truth and understanding, that we'll understand and know who God's Word is. But He says this, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot deceive because it neither sees Him or knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you. Now, this is present tense. He says this word. He dwells with you. So, who is He talking about in that moment? Who dwells with them? You know the Spirit of truth is coming because He dwells with you. He's talking about Himself, right? He's talking about the Spirit that comes. You're going to recognize Him because you already know Him right now. And then He goes on to say, and will be in you. Now there's something that I'm focusing on here, and that's the prepositions. Jesus is saying, He is dwelling with you, and He's right beside you. Right around you. But what is the future promise? He will be to why it says, remember, that Moses longed for this day that this would happen. And he goes on. He says that the Paraclete's promise to us is a permanent presence with us, and also a personal pervasiveness in our lives and in us. And we're going to get to that personal pervasiveness now that we've talked about the permanent presence that he is going to have with us, being in us forever, this Paraclete that is coming. As we look at this, look at verses 18 and 20. I will not leave you as orphans, Jesus promised. I will not leave you as orphans. Jesus personally promises that we're not going to be alone. That there is a plan in the works of God in which we are not left to our own devices when he goes up and is with his Father in heaven. So God has a contingency for that. God has an understanding and a plan for that. It's going to be as if his truth never left, because his Spirit is coming. And this is important. Because what was an orphan's right in those days? Zero. That's right. An orphan was lucky to become a beggar. Lucky to maybe someday be picked up by a gang within the community and be brought into that community and at least have people to watch their own, even if they had to steal or murder or do foul things to be accepted. They didn't care because had nothing. No one to support them. There was no social security. There was no watching over the children in the streets. In fact, even by Roman law, and we have to understand this, even by Roman law, a father could kill his son or his daughter if they disowned him. And that's an age of death. So, kids out there, be happy those laws are not in effect, okay? And I'm not saying as long as that they were thought of that. But I'm just saying, we need to understand how callous, how cruel it is to leave anyone as an orphan, especially when we have witnessed and met the very King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and Jesus knows that they are lost for them. And so he says to them, I am not leaving you as an orphan. Cares for us that much. He's a brother to us that much that he does not leave us as orphans. Remember, he said, I'm having sent to you by the Father this Spirit of truth. So I made this little circle and I put this word truth in it. The Spirit of truth is coming. And as we just talked about before, Jesus himself said, I am the truth. I am the way and I am the life. So this Spirit that's coming is true, shares the same truth that Jesus Christ himself shares. What about this? In John 17:17, we're going to read Jesus praying to the Father. And he says, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is. And what if Jesus said this whole time? He was speaking forth from Jesus, the Father, right? So really what we're seeing is a Trinity work in this promise of not leaving us as orphans, but the very Spirit that is coming to us that is true is from the Father, from the Son, and not leaving us as orphans, but instead, we ourselves are brought into relationship with the Trinity. You guys get that? When he says the Spirit will come and dwell in you, the very Spirit of truth, that means that he has brought you into the everlasting eternal relationship with the Trinity. Father, Son, and you, Holy Spirit. He's dwelling with you, he's brought you into the same place that he, the Son, he, the Father, has spoken forth, has done in truth, and now the Spirit of truth has brought us It's blissful. It's wonderful. They're in unity. They're in harmony. How's it going for your family? That's a struggle, right? Check us out. Thank you. Jesus is Lord, that means what? We obey Him as the Lord. So He has brought us to this place, this home that He has made for us. He has even begun that dwelling place with you right now. Right now, present tense. That is the paraclete promise to us, a permanent presence and a personal pervasiveness throughout all of our life. And this means that every aspect of our life belongs to Him. Every aspect of it, He needs to be part of. And if you think about it, if you think anything, you have to the Holy Spirit, and everything you can slip away from Jesus, or from the Father's hands. He is continue to bring back the dirt and the grime to the world and walk our muddy footprints all throughout the house to the neighborhoods? Why do we continue to say, brothers and sisters, let's let the world put that to death and let's deny ourselves the walk of the world? Well, here's the last part. He gives us the spirit, the paraclete promise, Jesus' promise right here, is that He will also give us a particular. A particular peace that is not like the world gives, Jesus said in verse 27. He says, peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you. And part of this peace is that the very helper, the very paraclete that's coming in the verse before, in verse 26, this helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, He will teach you all things and renew your memories of all that I have said. This peace will come because you will know what God has revealed is true in the reality of life and the reality of you, where you stand before God and who He is in His perfection. Do you think you know that? Yeah, you know that. I'll tell you one thing. I've been a believer since I was 5 years old. 5 years old, I grew up with my family and they went to the Sequoias. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen pictures of the Sequoias. Anybody ever been to the Sequoias? Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. Those things are giants. I mean, even as an adult, they're giants. But as a 5-year-old kid, they're huge. The biggest trees in the world. And I'm looking at these things thinking, well, Mom and Dad have told me that God made these. And in that moment, I thought, if God made these, He's bigger than this. If I little boy didn't talk to him, suddenly, abstract thought, it got bigger, and He got bigger. And I realized, I didn't get in my life. And I don't know what I need. And I know in my life, I need to be every day, even if I'm working to do it. I struggle with sin. I struggle with my desires, my rebellion, my attitude, my laziness, all these things. And He still draws me back. He still calls me back. He still moves me with love into the family relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the community relationship that we share together, brothers and sisters, because we're all brought in, O body, and filled with the Spirit. So what is a body without the Spirit? It's called a death, right? But He took that body, and what did God do in creation? He breathed His spirit into them and gave them the breath of life. We are the body of Christ. It dwells the very Spirit of truth, brothers and sisters. That's why we need one another. We are united with one another just as much as we are united in Christ through the Spirit and to the Father through the Spirit. We need to teach and remind us all of the good things that Jesus has taught. Love your enemies. Love your neighbor. Love one another as I have loved you. Wonderful encouragement. And then He says this, I give you peace, not like the world gives. What kind of peace does the world give? It gives a temporary peace, right? How many of us do why it's so important when we come up here to break bread with one another, to share in Christ's meal, that we have a unity with one another and a brokenness of spirit with one another. That we've extended that heart of love to one another is so vital. And if we have issues with one another, we need to lay it at the front of the cross, and we need to allow the world to rectify these things and change our behaviors and our attitudes. Maybe we're the one that needs to tell us that. And maybe we're the one that finally needs to tell that person and say, you know what, I accept your apology. Please forgive me for holding a grudge against you, even when you have apologized. So he gives us a peace that is not temporary, but is eternal. And it's not superficial, and it's not subject to change. How many of us are glad that the peace that Christ offers is not subject to our attitude? How often would I be lacking in peace? And maybe some of us are lacking in peace today. Makes you wonder, right? He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So who's been changing? Who's been shifting away and disturbing the peace? It's for you. And if you're so telling, we need to join forth to him. Peace I leave you, he said. My peace I leave you. Not as the world gives, do I leave you. And then he gives us this. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The purpose of the peace that he gives us, brothers and sisters, is no matter what we face in this life, whether it's trials of our family, trials of our jobs, trials of getting an education, trials of struggling with maybe addictions in our life, all of these different things, he says, do not be troubled and do not be afraid. Why? Because the very spirit in which he has given us is a spirit of victory. It's a spirit that has also risen Christ from the grave. It's a spirit that has risen the dead and changed hearts and minds and transformed people from addiction and slavery to sin to freedom and life and family in Christ. Brothers and sisters, we have nothing to be afraid of. We have every reason to rejoice. And that's why Jesus said, if you knew where I was going, you'd rejoice. I'm going back to Dad. And he's awesome. And he's going to send you someone who's going to be amazing. And you're going to know him because you're working with him. Brothers and sisters, may the peace that Christ alone gives be the peace that is in your heart today. And that you will go forth in that peace to give you the courage and the trust and the truth. May the world shake and tremble. Because the people of God, filled with the Spirit of God, Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth. Thank you for the truth of the relationship that we have with you, which is eternal, which is powerful, which is redemptive, which is restorative, which corrects the mistakes of our lives and also the brokenness of our relationships here on earth and brings us into the perfect relationship of the Trinity. And Lord, we have that unity of spirit with one another, and we pray that we would share that unity with one another. And we pray that especially now, Lord, as we come before this table of unity and grace, the ceremony extended to us from your own hand, O Lord. We pray for your special grace to meet us now, as you, Lord Jesus, are here in a special way. things that we need to do to follow you in progressive obedience.